I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is Business Wise. Our guests today are Willie Carden. Willie is the director of the Cincinnati Parks, and Mary Jane Klug, who is the CFO for the parks. And what an amazing transformation so many parks in our city have seen here in the last few years, Willie. It is so exciting to see Smale Riverfront Park, to see what Washington Park has become.
Yes,
you have
yes.
to be so proud.
I'm proud of not only the parks, but I'm really proud of the citizens of Greater Cincinnati. Their support has made our parks truly amazing, and we continue to be one of the top urban systems in the country. It's just fabulous.
Hey, Mary Jane, you are the CFO, which I can relate to you. It always takes the money to make these things happen. Do you get a lot of outside contributions? Do you do a lot of fundraising and that type of thing to help make this happen?
Yes, we actually get a lot of leveraged funding and sponsorships in relation to Smale Riverfront Park. It's a $120 million park, and $40 million of it has to come from private fundraising. And I'm proud to say we're about at $38 million right now for all the efforts that we've put forth.
Well, and speaking of private fundraising, you're having a fundraising event coming up soon, the Gentlemen of Style and Substance.
Mm-hmm. Wednesday, September 11th. At 6:30, and we're honoring men that are just beyond just a special, but they are huge contributors to the community, and we're really proud of the event.
Willie, how long have you been conducting this event?
This is going on our seventh year.
And I guess the idea behind the event, how was it established?
There's so many wonderful things to highlight the women, the great women of Greater Cincinnati. But what about the guys?
Absolutely.
So we came up with the idea, celebrate guys. It's an opportunity to have the men come forth and say, you know what, we appreciate what you do for the community. Thank you so much, and take a bow.
It is September the 11th. It's yes. down at Saks Fifth Avenue. It's yes. a wonderful event. I've been there a number of different times, and it is kind of interesting to watch these gentlemen walk or strut or whatever you call it across yes. the stage,
yes.
you know?
Yes.
So it's a fabulous event.
And you can tell they're not used to the accolades. You know, most men just do their thing and go hide, but, you know, when you tell these guys to come up and take a bow, their strut's a little different.
How many men have been recognized, Willie, since 2006?
Oh, my goodness. I think over 80.
And are we allowed to talk about, Mary Jane, who this year's winners are?
We sure can. We have a really great group of honorees this year. Jonathan Adams, he's a local business owner, president of a company. Our own chief, Richard Braun, from the Cincinnati Fire Department. It should be a fun crowd that is coming to support him. Trey Davey is the president of the Cincinnati Symphony and Pops Orchestra. Greg Hartman, who is the owner of Christian Moorline Brewing Company. David Harriman, he is the owner of a local company as well. Tom Humes, Walter B. Lunsford, Robert McDonald, John Nyer, Phil Nuxall, Rick Worth, and Jack Wyant.
Well, those are many recognizable names. That would be a really fun class. It'll yes. be a really fun party. Just a few of these names that I personally know.
Yes.
It will be a lot of fun. And if folks listening today would like to get tickets, would like more information about the event, how can they get that?
Well, they can get in touch with our Cincinnati Parks Foundation. They would contact Gretchen Hooker from the Cincinnati Parks Foundation at 357-2621, or they can email her at gretchen@cincinnatiparksfoundation.org.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner, and Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guests today are Willie Carden and Mary Jane Klug, and Willie is the CEO and director of the Cincinnati Parks, and Mary Jane is the CFO of the Cincinnati Parks. And we have a big event coming up here shortly, the Gentlemen of Style and Substance. It raises a lot of money that helps the parks, and specifically a wonderful program that helps economically disadvantaged youth called Nature Next Door. Mary Jane, if folks want information about the Gentleman's Style of Substance, maybe you can share just some of the details.
Yeah, the event actually is Wednesday, September 11th. It'll be held from 6:30 to 9 o'clock. And if they need more information on this event, we are actually honoring over 10 gentlemen this year, and they can contact the Cincinnati Parks Foundation at 357-2621 and ask for Gretchen.
And they can go to the website to check out who these winners are this year?
They can go to our website, which is www.cincinnatiparksfoundation.org.
And Willie, let's talk about the parks, because mm-hmm. I'm a jogger, mm-hmm. and so I jog around much of the city of Cincinnati.
Yes.
The parks are absolutely beautiful, and they range in all shapes and sizes. I think the Washington Park, which is a huge transformation.
Huge transformation, absolutely.
And to the Smale Riverfront Park, but there are also parks all over the city.
We have parks over 1,500 acres, and we have parks no bigger than your restroom. The neat thing about our park system, and I love talking about this special word, parkonomics, we're a well-capitalized and well-maintained park can renovate and change the dynamics of an entire community. And that's what Smale Riverfront Park, Washington Park, and a number of our parks continue to do throughout the city of Cincinnati.
And really, you're funded by both public and private funds, aren't you? You get a budget, but then you also raise a lot of private contributions to do special projects.
We do. We receive a budget from the city of Cincinnati, but a lot of the things that we do, like Smale and Washington Park, those are leveraged dollars from the private community, and I can't say thank you enough.
Well, just think about those two specifically, and those are probably two of the most high-profile parks that we have in the city. But what a transformation is occurring around the surrounding area there.
Yes.
I mean, Washington Park, I was up in that area the other day. Just what's happened to Luminosity. How many people were at Luminosity?
35,000. Can you believe it?
Of your closest friends, right?
Exactly. All my closest friends. 35,000, an 8-acre park.
So these people came down to Washington Park. They really got to experience over the Rhine. Many of them probably...
Yes.
Had not seen the transformation that's gone on.
Yes, people came from Indiana. They came from Mason, Westchester. It was unbelievable. And you know the neat thing about it? People began to enjoy, and there's a whole new experience in your city. The city of Cincinnati is a fun place to be now.
It is. And we get a lot of tourists and people who come to our city, anything from the casino to the Reds to the Bengals, and for them to be able to appreciate and actually enjoy these parks, hopefully it makes them want to come back.
We know that the new Smale Riverfront Park, when they were doing a study on it to begin with, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, our partner, said there'll be 1.1 million new visitors that'll come to Smale Park every year. The Chamber of Commerce said that the average visitor spends $300 a day. During their stay, over $600. So just do the simple math there. The economic, or what we like to call parkonomics, is just astronomical.
Thank you guys for everything you're doing. And thank you for listening to Business Wise. I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is Business Wise. Tom, it's back to school time, and for many parents, it's back to college time, and there is some tax benefits for people that are eligible so that Uncle Sam can help subsidize the cost of a college education.
Yeah, the key there is if you're eligible, because in most cases, the tax benefits for education are phased out at certain income levels.
If you can qualify, some of the things that you can take advantage of, the best one, really, the best credit, is the American Opportunity Tax Credit. And just to review, a credit is better than a deduction in most cases because a credit offsets your tax dollar for dollar. And that's what this American Opportunity Credit does.
It can be as much as $2,500 per student, but as I mentioned, this credit, like most tax benefits for education, is phased out. They have different phase out ranges. This one, you get the most credit if you're single and your income is less than $80,000, your modified adjusted gross income, or if you're married, you can have up to $160,000. So a lot of people will qualify income-wise for this credit, and you want to make sure you take advantage of it because a credit reduces your tax dollar for dollar.
And this credit is even more interesting because it also may be able to provide a $1,000 tax refund even if you don't owe any tax. So if you're in a situation where you have other deductions, other costs and expenses that offset your regular tax liability, you still may be able to get $1,000 back. This is a very unusual credit, so if you can apply for it and take advantage of it, be sure that you do.
Well, and sometimes it's even the child that can take advantage of the credit. If they're claiming themselves as an exemption, if they're basically self-supporting because of jobs or prior savings or whatever, then they can take the credit, and they may be entitled to that $1,000 because they may not have that much in income taxes.
Yes, and really the only way that you can determine who gets the biggest benefit of that is to claim the credit and actually prepare both tax returns, the parents and the child's, and see which one results in the greatest amount of refund or the least amount of tax. Another credit that's similar to the American Opportunity Credit, but not quite as beneficial, is the Lifetime Learning Credit. And it's distinguished from the American Opportunity Credit in a number of ways, but the biggest way is where the American Opportunity Credit was only available in the first 4 years after you graduate from high school. This Lifetime Learning Credit is eligible for any age.
For instance, if I took a college course or a graduate school course right now, I would be entitled to take that credit, assuming I'm at the income limitations.
That's another credit to keep in mind. It's valuable as well. It can be worth up to $2,000 if you have qualified educational expenses, but there is no refund associated with this one in terms of if you owed no tax, you wouldn't be able to generate additional refund from this credit.
And you only get $2,000 per return, not per child, for this credit.
Another beneficial exemption is the student loan interest deduction. And again, as painful as student loans are to have to repay, and it's become a huge issue just by itself, there is an interest deduction that may be available if you're eligible.
Limited to $2,500, so all the more incentive not to rack up too much in student loans.
529 plans, certainly if you still have a child that you're saving for, make sure that you're taking advantage of a 529 plan if you can as well.
Yeah, and speaking from experience, you can be assured that no matter how well you think you're saving for college, you're probably not saving enough.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is BusinessWise. Crystal, this is the time of year when people who have religiously saved for college, for their children, or for themselves, are really thankful because they're getting ready to go to college or they've just received their first tuition bill and they actually have money set aside for college, in many cases through the use of a 529 savings plan.
Yes, 529 plans are just a wonderful opportunity to save money for college for your child or your grandchild or your niece or your nephew, or you can actually set one of these plans up for most anyone. And certainly the sooner that you start funding for this ever-increasing cost of college education, the better off you're going to be.
And in many cases, depending on which state or which organization you choose to work with, it's very easy to fund the 529 plan. You can do it through a systematic withdrawal from your bank account. You sometimes can do it through payroll deductions. There's a number of easy, painless ways to move the money into the account to do it on a regular basis.
It may not be quite as exciting as a normal Christmas present or birthday present, but certainly relatives, friends, and those types of people can contribute where they would otherwise maybe give your child a gift as they grow up. This is a great way to have your other relatives help pay for your child's college education as well.
And depending on where you live, what state you live in, there may be some tax benefits. The main tax benefit is that the plan is tax-free for federal income tax purposes as long as when you withdraw the funds, they're used for qualified educational expenses. But for state tax purposes, in some cases, you get a deduction. For instance, in Ohio, you can get a deduction of up to $2,000 per year for a contribution to a 529 plan.
The other thing about 529 plans is that if you don't take all the money out that was designated for one beneficiary, you can use the money for a different person, as long as that person's also a qualified beneficiary.
If you're saving for a child or a relative, and they happen to either not go to college or you just choose not to want to pay for their college at some point in time,
or they get a scholarship,
then you can redesignate a different beneficiary and that person can use the funds.
And speaking of scholarship, I do want to mention, because we get this question often, Tom, what portion of a scholarship is taxable? And generally, if a child is awarded a scholarship and it's used for tuition, for expenses of the institution, that portion is not taxable. Scholarships that are provided for room and board generally are taxable.
The portion that counts for room and board is taxable. However, if you're fortunate enough to get a scholarship that even covers room and board, most people would be happy to pay the tax on that.
And there are other programs too, like work study, and if you get a fellowship, anything that's related to a service that has to be performed by the student, those dollars are also generally taxable to that student.
The key is it's a scholarship, that it's not a work stipend.
One last point I want to make about educational costs is, an employer, if you provide tuition for your employees in a qualified plan that's written and the employee is a true employee, you can actually deduct up to $5,200. Actually, I think the number is $5,250 as a working condition fringe benefit, and the employee can exclude that from income. So that's certainly another thing to think about as we head into this new school season. For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is BusinessWise. My guest today is Melissa Newman. Melissa is the Executive Director for Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation's Southwest Ohio chapter. That's a mouthful, Melissa. Let's talk about the upcoming walk that's occurring September the 7th.
Well, we have a Walk to Cure Diabetes event on September 7th. It's at Newport-on-the-Levee. And we have another walk on October 12th in Dayton, all supporting the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation of Southwest Ohio.
So how many children and individuals are actually affected by this type of diabetes?
We estimate that in our 43 counties in Southwest Ohio that our chapter covers, we have about 31,000 people who have type 1 diabetes. The majority of people who have type 1, in spite of the fact that it's commonly known as juvenile diabetes, are adults. Mm-hmm. So of that 31,000, over 6,000 of them are children. We are very active in the community. We have a couple of big galas. Our gala is the biggest in the city of Cincinnati. We raise anywhere from 800,000 to a million every year. We have three walks, the two we're talking about today, as well as one at Kings Island in the spring, and a whole host of other events and outreach activities that we go out into the community and talk about type 1 diabetes and the impact on people's lives.
People listening, even though they may not have a family member or a friend that's impacted, it's still important to the entire community. Why should people get involved even if they aren't affected by the disease?
Even if they aren't affected by type 1 diabetes, when we find a cure, not if, when we find a cure, it's going to have a big impact on a whole host of other autoimmune diseases, like celiac disease, for instance, and also have an impact on finding a cure for type 2 diabetes, which is a lot more common in the population. So the work that we do has an impact on other diseases. Plus, we're one of the most efficient organizations. When donors come to us and contribute, they know that 82.5 cents out of every dollar goes directly toward research, toward finding a cure.
So this whole concept of finding a cure, are they close? I mean, how will they progress, and when will a cure be determined?
Well, we have a lot of things going on our research pipeline. Every year, JDRF contributes more than $300 million toward research. We have exciting things going on now. The most exciting and closest to coming to fruition is the artificial pancreas, which will really impact people's lives who have type 1. We also have beta cell encapsulation coming down the pipeline that will allow people to live without type 1 diabetes for up to 24 months. So unfortunately, we're a few years away, but I know at some point we will find a cure.
The walk is one of those types of activities that people can do, have fun with. It's good for them as well, and raise money for this cure.
It is. Both of our walks, Newport and Dayton, are wonderful 5K routes. Great way to get out, enjoy the beautiful weather in the fall, and do some exercise and raise money for a cure.
How many people do you normally expect for one of the walks?
About 3,000 people at each walk. And it's really great for the kids that have type 1 diabetes to see the outpouring of support from the community, many of whom don't have type 1 or a type 1 connection. Just knowing that people are out there caring about them, caring about raising money to find a cure, means the world to these children and their families.
So if someone's listening and they do want to get out and do the walks, how do they register?
They go to the website, which is walk.jdrf.org. They can make a contribution. They can form their own walk team. It's a great way for companies to get involved. We have corporate walk teams that go out there and fundraise and come out as a team and support JDRF and participate in our walk program.
And if folks want to be involved in JDRF just in general, can they also go to the website and learn more information about it there?
Absolutely. They can go to jdrfswo.org, JDRF Southwest Ohio.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner. I'm with Cooney Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is BusinessWise. My guest today is Melissa Newman. Melissa is the executive director for the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation for Southwest Ohio. And why is it important for people of all ages, young people, older people, to get involved and really get out there and support nonprofits?
Crystal, there are a variety of reasons why people would want to get involved and why they should, and they do get involved. With the nonprofit world, we always have a need for volunteers, people that come out and help us set up at a walk event or plan a gala and that sort of thing. We also need people to help us with their corporate connections, perhaps finding a new corporate sponsor that's willing to help our organization. And a big way that business professionals give back is through a board of directors. I've been involved with boards for almost 10 years now with UK and also at JDRF. And building a board is a big part of the success of a nonprofit. We need a really strong board of directors of people who are willing to volunteer their time, whether or not they have a direct connection to the cause, and they get something out of it too. They are giving back to a great cause and networking.
But as a volunteer, there are all kinds of benefits that you get, including the networking, but also leadership training. It allows a young professional, for example, to get out there and really learn outside of what they're doing in their day job to lead other initiatives, other efforts, and like you said, to meet a lot of people.
Oh, definitely. And it's for all age groups. It's, of course, business professionals who, of course, want to give back to a great cause, but also want to build their own professional networks and that sort of thing. Also, for high school students, we're seeing now a big trend where high schools require service hours. Mm-hmm. So students are coming in to earn service hours and realizing, wow, I feel really great doing this. I'm getting something out of it. I want to go beyond the requirement and do more.
I think people like to do business with those that do good work in the community. And certainly having your name associated and employees associated with volunteer efforts, it's very smart.
And we even recently formed at JDRF what we call the YLC. It's the Young Leadership Council. And it's meant for young professionals who are looking to build their resume, build their professional networks, and of course, give back to a wonderful cause to give them an avenue to do so. We have a lot of great events. We have a benefit concert coming up in November at the Redmore that our YLC host raises about $15,000. We also have a gala after party in May that our YLC host, and it's really neat to see them make their own connections and help themselves professionally while also helping JDRF.
I really believe when somebody gets involved in an outside organization, a nonprofit, that they have to find something they're passionate about so that they can actually take charge and just not have their name on a board roster, but really roll up their sleeves and make an impact.
It is. And on my board at JDRF, for instance, we have some really talented professionals like you who work in the accounting field. I have a budget I have to manage, a lot of financial analysis. That maybe is not my area of expertise, but I have volunteers who have that knowledge, that skill set, and that can help me out with that sort of thing. We have a great marketing committee, folks that have PR experience, marketing experience that can help us spread the word about our wonderful organization and events out in the community. So regardless of your skill set and background, there's almost always a need and a place for everyone within the nonprofit setting.
And you do have a couple of events coming up I'd like to make sure we talk about.
Yes, we have our Walk to Cure Diabetes program on September 7th at Newport on the Levee. It's a beautiful 5K walk. Starts at the Levee, goes across a bridge by the stadiums and comes back across the Purple People Bridge. We have the same Walk to Cure Diabetes at Island Metro Park in Dayton, Ohio on October 12th. Again, beautiful 5K route. That one also has a 5K run if people are looking for something a little more rigorous.
And if people are interested in learning more about those events or about how they can get involved in JDRF, what is your website?
It's www.jdrfswo.org.
Well, thank you so much for being my guest, and thank you for listening to Business Wise. I'm Crystal Faulkner. I'm with Cooney Faulkner and Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Tim Shepelak. Tim is with The Growth Coach. And Tim, you're an executive coach. And we hear a lot about coaching these days. There's, you know, athletic team coaches. What does an executive coach do? What do you try to get someone to do when you're coaching them?
The essence of my job as a coach is to help my clients get to another level of performance and continue to improve their performance so they get better results. And of course, we're talking business results, but as we all know, business and life are very interrelated. So when business gets better, life gets better, doesn't it?
How did you decide to get into this, Tim?
I discovered coaching from a local guy who had a coaching business, and he was considering taking it national. I was at a point in my career where I wanted to get off the road, and everything just lined up very well. So we actually formed a business relationship. He decided to franchise his coaching business and take it national. And I became his first franchisee.
And not only that, you were also named Coach of the Year just a few years ago. Yeah. And you were the first franchise owner to be inducted into the Growth Coach Hall of Fame.
That's correct. Thank you for recognizing that. I appreciate that.
Well, and your system, the Growth Coach system's grown quite a bit since you were, I guess, the first franchisee.
It really has. Yeah. Now the Growth Coach covers about 140 different territories, both in the United States and also some of the other areas like, you know, Canada and Mexico and even Ecuador. They've got a coach down there now.
Well, you had a background as an executive. I mean, you ran businesses and divisions for a large company.
Yes.
Was that helpful in relating to the people that you're coaching?
Absolutely. If you think about the nature of what I'm doing, I'm working with impact players within an organization, which typically translates to the business owner, the key people, key executives, key managers. And so I can bring very practical business understanding and help and be very relevant. Everything I do as a coach, I look at it in two ways. I have to help my clients get a great return on investment from their coaching investment, and I have to help them reduce their risk. And so that speaks very well to the CEO mindset, doesn't it?
Sure does.
What do you mean when you say you have to help them reduce their risk?
Well, if you think about risk, there are a lot of risks we take just being in business, and of course we all have life risk as well. Some of the risk comes from not being totally aware of what's happening around you. So one of the things I see out there is sometimes, you know, business and life kind of forces you down to keep your head down at a more tactical level. And so one of my jobs as a coach is to raise my clients to that strategic level. And I'm talking behaviorally, get them looking up and into the future and looking around and seeing their blind spots and the issues and the opportunities that they should be looking at. So when they're doing the opposite, they're actually taking a lot of risk. There are things coming at them that they might not realize that aren't good.
Do you think they do that because it's comfortable, because that's probably what got them to the position they're in? They're good at executing the day-to-day stuff?
Absolutely. They're comfort zones we fight. We also fight what I call success patterns. So, you know, I'm coaching people who are already successful, but they need to get to their next levels of success. So if you think about it, if I were a batting coach, a hitting coach in baseball, I'm working with a 300 hitter to make them a 350 hitter. But in the back of their mind, they're worried that what we're working on might make them a 250 hitter. So we have to find a way to help them translate the changes that we need to see in a way that they can translate and make it successful for them.
Tim, if folks listening today would like more information about your business, your organization, reach you, what is your contact information?
It's thegrowthcoach.com. And then my particular webpage, you'd put a /T Shepelak, S-H-E-P-E-L-A-K.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Tim Shepelak. Tim is the growth coach. He is an executive coach. And Tim, you work with highly successful people who want to be even more successful. And the question that I have in terms of the return on the investment, because
yes,
I think that goes through a lot of successful people's mind.
Yes.
How do you help a business owner or an executive justify the return on the investment?
Absolutely. And we actually consciously work toward a return on investment in the coaching process. And by virtue of the things that we're working on with the executive or business owner, we're getting a return on investment. So some examples would be, I'm working with impact players to begin with. And when you get them to another level of performance, you start getting an immediate return on investment. An example of that would be, a lot of times a business owner or an executive gets too embroiled in the details, the day-to-day, and they ignore the long-term, the more strategic, the things that really make an impact, key customer relationships, that type of thing. So when you can convert time and energy over to those areas, it doesn't take many hours of conversion to get an immediate return on investment that's very, very handsome for them.
I assume you've been doing this for 10 years. I assume you've coached, you know, a fair number of people over that period of time. Is everyone coachable?
You know, I think there are moments in time where any of us might not be coachable. Probably inherently we're all coachable, but there might be times in your life where you're just not open. And that's all I ask my clients for, is just to be open to considering other things, other ways of looking at things, different mindsets, different behaviors. And the nature of my clients, they tend to be very improvement oriented. And so they just naturally have that orientation. So they're open to things like coaching that will improve them.
So if someone listening today who's already successful would like to reach a whole nother level, how do they know how to even go about choosing a coach?
Like many professions, you know, it's unregulated, but one can look for certain things. So for example, I've been in business for 10 years as an executive coach. So there's an experience factor that I think is very important. Certifications are important. I'm certified in two different coaching methodologies. So I'm able to blend and use proven coaching techniques to help my clients discover what's impactful for them. And I think, quite frankly, business experience is very important. I want everything that I do with my client to be relevant to themselves and their business and their life as well. You know, having that background, I can easily relate to my client. I've been in their positions since I've been a CEO. I've worked in various functions. And so I can relate to them and make everything we do as a coach relevant to them.
You just can't separate the business from the rest of your life. And I think a lot of people say, well, I'm going to do this in my day job. But in my world, my day job is my whole life. Do you help people with that as well?
Absolutely. In fact, we go so far as to say you can't separate your business and life and self. It's all interrelated, intertwined. So we work on the whole thing. And if you think about the nature of what I'm doing, I'm working with my clients at a behavioral level. We want to get some of the behavior patterns modified and improved. That doesn't shut off when you choose to go home at night.
This is Business Wise. I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Andy Shetterly. Andy owns a company. He's the founder of a company here locally called Peak Performance. And Andy, I love talking to individuals like you because you help people like me who have some type of pain because they are trying to stay active as a result of trying to stay in good shape, healthy. But you can't always have your cake and eat it too. It seems like there's always something that hurts. How do you help folks relieve that pain?
Well, my main focus is to work with people doing two types of therapy. Neuromuscular therapy, which releases trigger points, which are account for about 75% or more of all individuals' pain.
What do you mean, trigger points?
A trigger point is where the muscle's been shortened, fattened, either through injury, repetitive stress, normal blood flow can't get through there, drops a lot of waste materials, and it's unhealthy tissue. And so with that lack of oxygen and blood flow to that area, the muscle tightens and spasms. So what we do is we find those key trigger points, release them through finger, thumb pressure, release those points, and within a very short period of time, that pain is released significantly. And then the other focus is adhesions, which is scar tissue, which is anytime you have an injury or, again, repetitive stress, inflammation occurs, lays down scar tissue, and that can entrap nerves, restrict relative range of motion in the muscle. So we release that through active release technique, and that person feels significantly better fast.
How did you get into this business in the first place? Because you started out in the military as a pilot.
There was a person I knew who was big into body work, and she said, Andy, I think you'll be a really good body worker. That night, I was doing a demonstration of Traeger psychophysical integration. That was back in 1987. From then on, I've been passionate about helping people out of pain, learning new techniques, and there's always something new to learn, and I'm never satisfied with, you know, what I know. There's always something more to help people.
So this is like a massage, but on steroids?
It is, because it is manual therapy. It is a massage, but it's very specific. It's very scientific. When I work with somebody, they're in control every second. So it can cause a little bit of discomfort. And I always mention that, you know, after that first session, you might be sore for 2 to 3 days. But then after that, you'll see the light at the end of the tunnel. I work with people every day that have been through every gamut, every type of therapy, whether it's PRP or trigger point injections or multiple types of therapy, and they do respond very positively.
Do you work with just normal people? Do you work with athletes? Of course, lots of people that are normal people try to do some athletic things that sometimes cause them problems.
I consider everyone an athlete, whether they're, you know, a grandparent trying to keep up with their grandchild and they can't maneuver the way they like to, or whether they're professional athlete, college athlete. So I treat everybody the same. So whatever that person needs to reach their peak level performance, that's what I do. And keep it.
Andy, if folks listening today would like to learn more, get in touch with you, what is your contact information?
My contact information is my cell phone is 859-802-0448, and my email address is peakpro@me.com, and my website is peakperformancesportstherapy.com.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Andy Shetterly. He is the owner and founder of Peak Performance. And Andy, you know, there's a lot of us that spend our time, like me, sitting often. And you wouldn't think that would be harmful to your health, but I've come to realize lately that it is, because I've got some back problems, some disc problems, and they attribute that to too much sitting. What is it I could do, or people like me could do, to prevent injury?
I think one of the main things as an office worker, if you're sitting at the desk for a long time, is perhaps once an hour you get up and you stretch. And so many times our shoulders are rolled in, and that's going to cause thoracic problems right down to the arm, carpal tunnel type syndromes. So what you're going to want to do is get up, stretch, just open up those pecs, get a band so you can actually do some resistance work at the same time you're getting that stretch in. That's going to really help relieve a lot of the tension that we have. There's different neck exercises that if you can just go chin to chest lightly, you know, extend back and then just to the right, just get that nice stretch and hold it for, you know, 2 to 3 seconds. Breathing is critical to everybody's pain. If you can breathe correctly from the diaphragm, fill up that belly first, you're going to reduce your pain, your stress level by a lot. Also, water breaks. You have to drink water like a fish. You take half your body weight, and that's your bare minimum of water intake that you're supposed to have.
Why is water so critical to good body health?
The fascia, which surrounds like a fishing net, every section, every part of our body, every muscular cell, everything, if that gets dehydrated, then it's going to compress and the muscles won't work as effectively. And also, it puts more pressure on the pain receptors. And so everything that you do with when you're dehydrated is amplified by a lot. And so just by drinking water, you'll reduce your pain by 20%. But if you do have a cup of coffee or a Coke or beer or whatever it might be, you have to times that by 2 and use that as added water intake. So even if you think you're drinking a lot, but you have a cup of coffee, well, that immediately puts you into a deficit.
Because coffee dehydrates your body.
Exactly.
You have a special technique that you're certified in called active release technique, ART.
Yes.
And that's different than just a typical massage movements, isn't it?
ART focuses on releasing adhesions, which is the key cause of from injury, repetitive use. It's scar tissue that's built up and actually creates a 2,000 pound per square inch force. It's like a horse standing right on that area. And so the restricted range of motion, the entrapped nerve. So what we would do is find the exact point where the adhesion is, put you through a range of motion, and it breaks up that scar tissue. And then you combine that with neuromuscular therapy trigger point work, and that'll take away, again, 75% of all chronic pain. So between those two methodologies, unless you have a structural problem, and even though you may have a structural problem that shows up on an MRI, you could have had that for the last 15, 20 years, but it's not really that that's causing your pain. It's the muscle contraction, the soft tissue. So there's 4 phases of rehabilitation. Normalize the soft tissue, stretch, strengthening, and then get back to your normal movement patterns. And that's what we really lack is normalization of soft tissue.
Andy, if folks listening want to get in touch with you, what is your contact information?
My website is peakperformancesportstherapy.com.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.